David Hirsch, Shlaim Parshas Vayera. Okay.
In America, they say, another day, another dollar. We say, another day, another daf. They say, time is money. We say, time is more precious than money. They say, start your day on the right foot. We say, start our day the Torah way. I once heard from Shlomo Ashkenazi, it was my Rosh Kollel in Yerushalayim. He said that datot is a four-letter word. Datot, dalet saf, vav saf, religion, is a four-letter word. A four-letter word has a negative connotation. What's the negative connotation of datot? Datot, religions, the religions. I have my religion, you have your religion, you have your Navi, I have my Navi. Well, don't bother me, I won't bother you. It's a, datot is a dirty word, it's a negative connotation, not so. There's only Emes, there's only the Torah way. Thank you for inviting me to speak, and I want to thank Mr. Zaltzman for all his efforts in making this shiur available to everyone around the world. While I'm in Manchester, I must mention a story about the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, Zechon Ravracha. I had a neighbor in Telstone, Moshe Baron. He was a Manchurian. He was one of the first minyan with the Rosh Yeshiva when he started Yeshiva. So whenever the Rosh Yeshiva came to B'nai Brak to visit his son, his children, Mr. Baron would go visit him. So he told us by the Hesped of Zichron Devarim, when the Rosh Yeshiva was Nifter, that once he went into the Rosh Yeshiva in B'nai Brak, it was a Monday. And he went in and sat down, and with a list of Leon Hara, 14 children, all 14 of his children, he went through the list with the Rosh Yeshiva. This one needs a bracha, this one needs hadracha, an eitzah. All 14 children, he went through the list with him. So he came one son's name is Shmuel. So Shmuel learns in Grodno Yeshiva, it's a sniff from Panovich in B'nai Brak in Ashdod, and gave him a bracha. He went through all 14 children brachas, eitzes. So afterwards Rav Moshe had a bit of chavrata that he didn't take his son to the Rosh Yeshiva himself. He said, why am I getting a bracha from my son? Klishlishi, I'll take him to the Rosh Yeshiva. So, Erev Shabbos, Friday, the Davin Minchin Slabatka, and they're walking down the hill back to where he was staying. And Rav Moshe said he stuck his foot in the door. There are a lot of people around the Rosh Yeshiva. He stuck his foot in the door and cut him off right before he got inside. And he said, this is Shmuel. So Rosh Yeshiva said, from Grodno? Between Monday and Thursday, there were hundreds of people that saw the Rosh Yeshiva. And Moshe himself has 14 children. And the Rosh Yeshiva was, he remembered Shmuel from Grodno. He said he gave him such a beautiful bracha that it was kedai to go. And I know Shmuel, and I think it was Chal. How did the Rosh Yeshiva remember? Because Rav Moshe was one of his first Talmidim, and it was Chaviv, and there's a klal that something's Chaviv, that a person puts a dot onto it. A person that's Chaviv to him, the person that's precious, he thinks about it, and it's important to him, he doesn't forget, he remembers. Erev Shabbos, Hanukkah, I wanted to daven mincha early, mincha gedola. Before candle lighting, before Shabbos came in, so I could light before Halakas Neros, Shabbos. And I davened a minyan I wasn't used to. It was a big minyan. A lot of people also had the same idea. And it was a big minyan, and we davened, and I was listening to Chazoras HaShatz. Answering Chazoras HaShatz, and I noticed one fellow, he's Avreich from Mir, Rav Shraga. He was answering Amen a little bit different than everyone else. Loudly, clearly, but a little bit after everyone else. So I went up to him after Mincha, and I said, Rav Shraga, maybe you're answering Amen Yisoma. Maybe Amen Yisoma is an orphaned Amen. There's two Peshatim in Amen Yisoma. One is the person answers Amen to a bracha, and he doesn't know what the bracha is. It's an orphaned Amen. It's an Amen without a makor, without a mother, without a parent. It doesn't have a parent, so it's an orphaned Amen. That's one Peshat. Another Peshat in Amen Yisoma, orphaned Amen, is a person answers too late. Answers too late, so the bracha, someone said a bracha, and now it's a big hefsik, and then he answered too late, it's a amen yisom, it's an orphan amen, it's not makushar to its, it's not connected to its source, it's an orphan amen. So, Rav Shraga said to me, I'm not answering amen yisom. And he showed me a Gemara. The Gemara says in Brachas, it says, it's a Brisa, Tanur Rabbanan, Ain onuin lo amen chatufa, below yamen chatufa, below amen yisoma, below yizrok brach lapiv. The Gemara in Brachas says, Amim Zayim Amad Aleph, that a person shouldn't answer amen chatufa. Amen chatufa is a grabbed amen. So Rashi learns that chatufa, amen chatufa means you shouldn't grab the amen and say the aleph with a segel instead of a comma. You should say amen. You shouldn't say amen. Amen. You shouldn't grab the amen. You shouldn't say it in an improper way. But the orach, which is brought down the Shulchan Aruch, brings another Peshat, and Chamein Atufa, a grabbed Amen. He says that a person shouldn't grab his Amen. He shouldn't grab his Amen. He shouldn't grab it before the end of the Bracha. It shouldn't be a premature Amen. That's also Amen Chatufa. So then, he told me, he said, if you listen very carefully to the shots, you'll notice that I was saying amen after the shots, after the bracha, and there were others that perhaps were saying before the end of the bracha. So, he showed me another Gemara. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, it's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah, on Daf Chaf Vav Amud Beis. And it says, Mishka says, Shofar Shofar Shana Shel Ayal Pashut. It should be of an aisle, Rashi says, a Steinbach, Pashut, straight. Piv Matsu Batav, its piv could be covered with gold. Shtei Chatzotzot Min HaTzadadim. And there were two Chatzotzot, two trumpets on the sides, on two sides of the Shofar. So Rosh Hashanah, they blew shofar, the one shofar in the middle, at the same time they're blowing chatzosos on the side, trumpets on the side. The Mishnah says, shofar ma'arich, the chatzosos mitzkatzros. The shofar went longer, was a longer tekiah, longer sound, blew it longer time, than they blew the trumpets. So that they could hear the shofar. So the Gemara goes through a whole shakbatoria that it's mashma from the Mishnah that one doesn't have to hear the whole tekiah. That they're all three are blowing at the same time. At the beginning, they're all together. And at the last half, only the shofar is blowing. So it's mashma from the Gemara that you don't have to hear just the shofar. You don't have to hear the whole shofar. You can only hear the last part. How do we know that one can't hear chatzosos and the shofar at the same time? Because by Matan Torah it says v'zachav v'shomer v'divar echad. By the Gemara brings that masha ena pe yechola deber ve'ena ozen yechola shmoa. That what happened at Har Sinai, Hashem said zachav v'shomer shabbos v'shomer. And Shomer Eset Shabbos, he said it at the same time, and in a Derek Nace, that no one else can do. And there was a miracle that we were able to hear Shama B'Zohar at the same time. But that was only at Har Sinai. In Derek Klal, generally, a person can't hear two kolos at the same time. You can't discern. Can't hear both of them. Two people talking at the same time, can't hear either one. So the Gemara wants to say, Araya, from here, that the tekiah, the sound of the shofar, that started together with the trumpets, didn't have to be, you don't have to hear the whole sound of the shofar. The first half you didn't hear, the last half you can hear, that's enough. So the Gemara says no. The Gemara says that one has to hear the shofar. So how can it be? How can you hear two sounds at the same time? So the Gemara says that the chaviv, kevan de chaviv yehiv date. Since it's chaviv, person knows on Rosh Hashanah that's the mitzvah of the day. That's the mitzvah of the day, shofar. He's going to concentrate and listen to the shofar, even though the chatzosra is blowing at the same time. He'll be able to discern the shofar. Why did the Mishnah say that you have to be marif, have to continue the shofar longer? It's just a symbol, a sign that the mitzvah of the day is the shofar. But it's not because you don't have to hear the first part of the shofar. You have to hear the whole shofar. The trumpets are blowing at the same time. If you concentrate very hard, he'll be able to hear the shofar, discern the shofar, even though the trumpets are blowing at the same time. So similarly, over here, by Chazor Shatz, even though there may be, by the end of the bracha, there may be noise, there may be people saying amen, the person listens very carefully, he can discern the voice of the shots. So he told me, it's not easy. He said, not easy to really close your eyes, concentrate on the call of the voice of the shots. But I heard from Ephraim Waxman. He said a person who wants to see far, he squints his eyes. But if he wants to see really far, he closes his eyes. Similarly, with the sound also, a person's not distracted, he closes his eyes, listens carefully, he can discern the sound of the shots. So why is it so important to hear the answer on me? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Tes. It says that Reish Lakish said that anyone who answers Amen with Kol Kocho, Poskin Lo Shari Gan Eden, they open for him the gates of Gan Eden. A person who answers Amen with all his Koch, they open the gates of Gan Eden, as it says in the Pasuk, in Yeshaya, it says, Pisco Sha'arim Yavo Goy Tzedek, Shomer Amunim, open the gates and will come the righteous nation. Shomer Amunim, those who are Shomer Amunim, that they guard their Amuna, their belief, their Amuna. But the Gemara says, Al Tekre Shomer Amunim, Ella Shomrim Amen. Don't say Shomer Amunim, don't say that they guard their Amuna. Rather say that they say Shomrim Amen, that they say Amen. Who are the ones that enter the gates, who the gates are open for them? Those who say Amen. That's what Gemara says. I saw a muscle from Moshe Aaron Stern, Zechonah Bracha, he was Kamenetz Mashgiach. He said, 23 years ago, when you got an invitation to a chassan in America, they would send you an invitation and a return envelope, stamped return envelope with an RSVP. So, I know they don't do that anymore, but maybe they do. In America, they don't do it anymore, but you have to send in the RSVP, and then they send you back a kartis haknasa, a card to get into the chasanah. So once he traveled overseas to America to a chasanah, and he didn't send in the RSVP. He got to the chasana, got to the hall, and the shomer by the kenisa, the entrance to the chasana hall, wouldn't let him in. Where's your car? He says, I forgot to send in the RSVP. I didn't send it in, but I have an invitation. No, but you need the car. He says, I'm a friend of the family. I know the chasana's father. His father, grandfather was friends with all for the boss. I'm Yuchas. I'm Kimon family over here. Where's your card? He spent a long time. He wasn't able to get in. That's the mashal. The nifshal, he says, is that after Meir v'Esrim Shana, a person goes to Gan Eden, and the gates of Gan Eden are there, and they ask him for his card. Where's your card to get in? So he says, card, I have lots of mitzvahs. I davened every day. I learned every day. I was kaveh eating the Torah, kakashus, Shabbos. I have a lot of cards. No, your card. I know you have yichus. I know you're hamish yid, but where's your card? Where's your card to get in? Said that's the nimshel, the mashal, that to get into Gan Eden, a person has to have Amen, he has to have his card. His Amen is his kartis to get into Gan Eden. Piskul Sha'arim Yavo Goy Tzedek Sha'omrim Amen. Who that opened the gates for one who wants to go to Gan Eden, going to Gan Eden with those who say Amen. So I heard what Rosh Raga said. In the next minyan I went to, I was very careful to listen to Chazoras HaShatz, and I closed my eyes and listened to the shots very carefully, and I said Amen after he finished the bracha, and I realized that I was saying Amen after a lot of other people, unfortunately. So I went back to Rosh Raga, and I said to him, you know, you're right. I concentrated during the Chazoras HaShatz, listened to the shots, and I realized you're right. So he said to me, you're the artist, illustrate it. So everyone has a sheet. I illustrated a few halachas from this halacha, Amen Chatufa, of a premature Amen. If you look in the first line, the first bold, bold print, the big print, it says, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mevarech HaShanim. And then underneath it says, Amen. And then it continues, Tikav HaShofar Gadol, Lechei V'Seinu. This example of a bracha during Chazorus HaShatz, that the Shatz is Baruch Atah Hashem, Mevarech HaShanim, and then the call answers, Amen. And he continues to Tikav Shofar. If you notice, by the Amen, which the call is answering, there's a space. There's a space between Hashanim and Amen. Two vertical lines. He has to answer Amen after the Bracha, but I put a little space there. Why? Why didn't Miad afterwards? So we know that sound travels 332 meters per second. 332 meters. So 332 meters is about three football fields, soccer fields, they call it here. Right? Very fast. Sound moves very fast. So in a shul, which is maybe, let's say, 50 meters, a big shul, 50 meters by 50 meters, from the front of the shul to the back of the shul is 50 meters. So the sound would travel from the front to the back in 0.16666 seconds. Very, very fast. Almost indiscernible. But there's another factor. Is the reaction time. It takes time for a person to react. I once took a test where I had to press a button. There was a green flag and a red flag. So when the red flag was there, as soon as the green flag came up, I had to press the button. So I did it about 5-10 times. Came out every time, just to press the button, I was trying as hard as I could to do it as fast as I could. It took 0.2 seconds to react. And so it takes time for the sound to get to the ear. Not so much time. We said 0.1666 seconds very quickly in it. But there is a reaction time. The person has to react, has to, in scientific terms, it's sound waves enter the outer ear and travel through a narrow passage called the ear canal, which leads to the eardrum. The eardrum vibrates from the incoming sound waves and sends the vibrations to three tiny bones in the ear. Once the sound wave reaches your ear, your brain can recognize it in about 0.05 seconds. So it takes time to react. So, lachora, there should be a moment of silence between the end of the bracha and the amen. It's not a halachic requirement, but alpi teva, we live in a physical world. We need to listen. We need to react. It takes time. A moment of silence. A moment of silence in the non-Jewish world, and I live in Israel. Even in Israel, they have the moment of silence on Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaShoah. That on these days, in the country there, they sound a siren. 11 o'clock in the morning, I think it's 7 o'clock at night, there's a siren, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaShoah, moment of silence. And I live in Unzorf, and you can see the remote road, and 11 o'clock in the morning, the car skid to a stop. Stop. Everyone stops, gets out of the car, stands for a moment. Moment of silence. So, I once heard from the Boston Rebbe, Zichron Levracha, he said, it's not our way of commemorating the dead. We have a yahrzeit, we make a tainus, we make a siyum, a sekta, we give tzedakah, donate sefer Torah, ili nishmas. It's not our way of commemorating the dead. But, he said, if you're on the street at 11 o'clock in the morning, you shouldn't be on the street, but you are, you should stop. You must stop. It's not the time to give tachacha. A woman who lost her only son in a terrorist attack, or a man who went through the Holocaust, and this is, he doesn't know Torah and Yiddishkeit, this is his moment, Yom HaZikaron, Yom HaShoah, moment of silence. It's not the time to give tachacha. The Rebbe said, he said, stand there and say Mishnayos Baal Peh, say Tehillim, but don't, you must stand. So one may propose that there should be a Haredi frum, moment of silence. When is that? It's by Chazor Shatz, or any bracha. You hear the bracha, one answers Amen, it takes time to hear, it takes time to react. That's the frum moment of silence. Even the Shlah, Mishnah Berurah brings, in the Shlah brings down, he says, Ritzi Haredim LeDavar Hashem, people who Haredi LeDavar Hashem, those who are scared about the words of Hashem, that during Chazoras HaShatz, they look in their Siddur, they follow the Siddur, follow each word in the Siddur, follow the Shatz. There's a few illustrations, a few examples. One that's very common is next week's Rosh Chodesh, and the Minhag by Rosh Chodesh is to say Hallel after Shacharis. And also by the end of Sim Shalom, the Shatz says a Nusach already of Hallel. It says, Brokot Hashem, Hamavorek Es Amo Yisrael Ba Shalom. But often, it comes out sounding like, Brokot Es Amo Yisrael Ba Shalom. Should be, Shalom, Amen. Another example, that's by Kaddish. You say, Yiskadel Yiskadel Shnei Rabba, Amen. Often it sounds like Yiskadel Yiskadel Shnei Ramein. It's Rabba, his name is great, Amen. So now, let's take a look at the sheet. We'll go through the halakhas a bit. Okay, we saw the first line is person must wait to say Amen until after the bracha. And the second line is an illustration of why is the Amen red? Half the Amen is red because the answerer answered before it in the bracha. So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's usher. Not only is it a hugging you not. It's usher to say Amen before the bracha. There's the third line is a warning to the Shatz. The Shatz, the Shlik Tzibur, when he says Bruch Atah Hashem. He should wait for the tzibur to say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. He continue the bracha until Rav Tzibur has said Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. That's why the Mavorech in the third line is red. He started too early. And the Mishmur says he shouldn't start too early because then people won't hear the end of the bracha and they won't be able to say Amen. It's a dominoes effect. And the fourth line, it's a picture of a longer Amen. Say the whole Rav Tzibur, say the Amen, saying Amen slowly at a long pace. Then also the Shatz shouldn't start too early. And the fifth line is saying Brukat Hashem, Mvarek Hashanim, Tika. The shots didn't stop at all. That's no one could say. The Nimishwar says, if there's no room to say Amen, shouldn't say Amen. Shouldn't say Amen to his bracha. There's no, the shots didn't leave me any time to say Amen. And the last line, it says that the person should say Amen the same amount of time it takes to say Kel Melech Naaman. So that is I have a hard time understanding that Kel Melech Naaman. If you look on the second side, you see I timed the Amen. Amen takes about 0.56 seconds. Depends how you say it, but normal, I said normal Amen took 0.56 seconds. Kel Melech Naaman, Amen is only two syllables. So say each one is about 0.25 seconds. Kel Melech Naaman is five syllables. It's much longer. So I asked someone, and he said, "B'shem." He asked the Rabbi. He said, "Doesn't mean Kel Melech Naaman. Just say it clearly." That's the answer I heard regarding that. So a person should be careful to say Amen after the bracha, and even how much time does he have? He has until Tokhdei Dibor. Tokhdei Dibor, if you look at the next picture, Shalom Lechem Rabbi, there's one shita is that Amen Yisama, it doesn't become an orphaned Amen until after Shalom Lechem Rabbi, which is 1.75 seconds. It's a long time. It's pretty hard to say Amen Yisama. If a person's listening to the shots, and he says Amen after everyone else, even if he says after everyone else, even they were saying properly, it's still not Amen Yisama, because Amen only takes 0.5 seconds, and Shalom Lechem Rabbi takes 1.75. He's still within the gavul. He's still within the boundaries. So there's a maisa with a mole. His name was Abuav, a mole in Tel Aviv. He got a phone call from a family in Tel Aviv. Maisa Abuav, he's the first mole in the yellow pages in the phone book. Aleph Beis, the first mole. It's the first mole in Beis. So he got a phone call. So the lady said, "We have a child. Can you come for make a bris for us?" "Yes." "When?" "Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. Where? Is it?" He said, "A certain street in Tel Aviv." A number. He told a number, and he arrived. Arrived at 7 o'clock. Zerizim makdim mitzvahs. He thought they're very careful mitzvahs. He arrived. When he arrived there, there's no one around. Usually by Bris Milas, there's people coming in, there's cars, no one's there. He knocks on the door, and the lady opens the door. She's still in her nightgown. "Here's the baby. My husband already went to work, and the babysitter will be here in an hour. Make the bris." He'd never been to a bris like that. So he said, "Where's your husband?" He went to work. "And where are you going?" "I'm also going to work. So I'm making the bris by myself." "Yeah, just go ahead and make the bris." Why are you making a bris? So he said, "Our son will grow up. We're not religious, as you can see. But our son will grow up. He should have a bris like everyone else. He should have a bris." And the check's on the table. She's off. So he made the bris. He was the father, Avia Ben, he was a Sandik, he was an Amila Brachas, he, everything. And he has a baby on his lap, he makes a bris. And the baby's crying. The baby's crying in the bris. He doesn't know where the bottle is for the baby, nothing. He didn't know how to, he's sitting with his baby on his lap for an hour. And he starts crying also. And he davens to this baby, you know, what kind of bris is this? So an hour later, the babysitter comes and makes him a formula, makes him a bottle, and he goes. About 13 years later, he gets a phone call from the same lady in Tel Aviv. And she says, Avi Abadi, you remember me? Yeah, that's a bris I'll never forget. Well, you're making another bris. He says, no. Our son, he's gone mishuga, he's gone crazy. So what do you mean? He says, he wants to go to yeshiva. We took him, he wants to go to yeshiva. We brought him up in the glad kosher, glad treif school system, and he wants to go to yeshiva. We took him to the minahel, and he's in the psychiatrist, psychologist, counselors. No one can talk any sense into him. You're the only one I know that you take him to yeshiva. It ain't rare. We have to take him to yeshiva. So the Mo arrived, took the boy to yeshiva, took him to Bnei Brak, and he became a Bin Torah. So Rebbe again, Zechon Rocha, he touches up the Maisa. He says, what happened when this Mo was holding the baby, he was doubting for the months of this boy, this little baby, is doubting that something should come from him, something come to, going up in a society like this, a family like this, something should be from him. And his tefillah was answered. So also, all our tefillahs should be answered. Lech lamaisa. Sof. I asked some of Shem Rav Hanneman about Amen Chatufa. If a person's had a big kiddush, he's a big kiddush, and the Mavorech says pray b'ri gafen, and a person answers Amen Chatufa, is he yotzi lebracha? Is he? Can he drink? Can he eat at the kiddush? For example. So. Also, as Rav David Morgenstern, and he said b'shem Rav Yashiv Zichron Bracha that a person is Yossi. If he heard the bracha, even though he said Amen Chatufa, if he wasn't careful, he said Amen Chatufa, or other people are saying Amen. If he can hear the bracha, he's Yossi. Even if he said Amen Chatufa. And I asked Rav Ari Zilberstein the same question, and he's a grandson of Rabbi Yashiv. He said, and he was medayik in the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah says that a main chatufa is usher. It's not miyakib. A person wants to be yotzi the bracha. As long as he heard the bracha, he's yotzi, even though he may have said amen, if he said a main chatufa. So may all of our tefillahs be answered properly, and mizok it's a binyan based on mikdash bin heravi amenu, and let us say amen. Amen.